Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. DK Shadow says your 401k has just been unburdened by what has been. Yes, that was a pretty hilarious meme. I've seen it circulate on Twitter this morning as the stock market was crashing, and I was listening to clips of Kamala Harris cackling on repeat. And, you know, sometimes I go into a programming mode and I'm like, okay, whatever is playing, I'll let it play in loop. I don't recommend this for your mental health, because then I started imagining the cackling. The cackling is happening. It's an event. It's like the halving. And it is the complete crash of the stock market under the cacklings of the communist and the far left. I'm barely in a state where I can could do the show, because I've just been attacked by an animal. A bat has entered the studio and the house, and I had to kill it. It took me 10 minutes to catch it and kill it. It was, I'm still under shock. I didn't, you know, the philosophical question in philosophy of mind is, how does it feel to be a bat? I don't know how it feels to be a bat, but I know how it feels now to be attacked by a bat. I feel raped by the bat. So I just opened my front door to go get some trash out. And immediately once, because in the front of my front door, there's like a descending roof like this. And so there was a bat hiding right beside the entry of my house. She was hiding under the roof. And the second I opened the door, she flew in, a bat like this. And I had never had a bat anywhere I lived. No, I didn't catch rabbis. I was extremely careful. I'll tell you everything I've done. I mean, I've been traumatized by bat stories, because when I was something like 6 to 8 years old, my grandma had a bat in her house, and they had said that bats are dangerous because they attack your hair and they stay stuck to the hair, and you have to go to the hospital to just get them to stop gripping your hair. So I was, and on top of it, there's the rabbi's risk. And so I was like, okay, there's a bat inside my house. What am I going to do about this? And she starts flying like these bats, they fly super relaxed. She was flying like all around my kitchen. She was doing a rotation around my kitchen of in about 2 seconds, like 2 seconds, she was doing the full round of the kitchen. Now the family members were starting to be alarmed, screaming, and so I'm like, okay, first step is to cover the family members in a protected area. I opened the door of the studio and I'm like, I'm going to put everyone in there while I fight the bat. But the minute I opened the door of the studio right here, the bat flies in. She saw a dark spot, and it seems that she liked it. So the bat flies into the studio. Now it was circling right here and doing the rounds. So I'm like, okay, now I start interacting with the bat. Now I start understanding, okay, I can redirect the bat. I think that the best method will be to redirect her outside. So I take a broom and I start hitting on the bat, but at strategic points so that she sees she has an out of the studio. I succeed at getting the bat out of the studio. Now I was super scared. I was like, she must have rabies. She's going to attack me. So I'm like, I was hitting strategically to show her that there's an out. She gets out of the studio. I get back in my kitchen. And now I'm like, I open the front door in front of my house. And I want to use the same strategy to push her out. But she would never. She would come to the broom and I would be like, pop! And she would waver and fall a little bit, and then she would recover and start flying again. Eventually, after it's been 10 minutes now that there's a bat in my house, and so eventually I'm like, okay, so I need to stun her more stronger than just giving a small hit to counsel her outside. I have to stun her to make her unconscious. So I'm studying the circle that she's doing, and I'm like, boom! And she falls on the floor. She's stunned. She's like, oh. And she's right there on the floor, and with all my energy defending my family, I'm like, ah! I drop the broom on her head. Boom! Like a hammer from Zeus with... I was imagining the lightning. I've never put as much passion into a hit as this. And it killed her. It was really like... the whole house shaking. I see some blood starts getting out of the bat. I killed her with the plastic part of the broom. Now, throughout all this process, I was like still traumatized from my 6 to 8 years old event where I've been told that bats attack hares. And so you have to imagine me with the broom. I didn't have just the broom. I had taken a trash bag and I had wrapped myself in trash bag with just my face coming out. So I was like with a trash bag with my face out and attacking the bat. So eventually I took the trash bag, took some gloves because there was blood on the floor. I spread the blood with bleach and OxyClean with the hope of killing any sort of virus. Cosmic Nut says, no, use a helmet. Well, I didn't have a helmet. Like, I don't have a helmet. I don't do bikes. I don't do anything that requires a helmet. So I don't have a helmet at home. But I did have a trash bag, so I wrapped myself. I wrapped myself like a COVID freak attacking the bat. Yeah, a new guy says bats aren't dangerous. This is what I see with all this event. Although I was scared, and although I'm still under adrenaline shock, like PTSD bat style, she didn't attack me at any point. So I was extremely violent to a naive animal. The bat probably just wanted out, but didn't know the path out. But she gave me a chance to kill, and I've tasted blood again. So I got rid of it with gloves, put her in a bag, spread clean, bleached. So I don't think there's going to be any events of rabies, whatever. Real Base Talk says some bats are pollinators too. Well, it's probably not random that there's a bat coming and my trees are producing fruits because I've heard that bats really like to go eat fruits. And just not so far from my door, I have a beautiful peach tree that has been starting to give this year its first peaches. So it's very possible that the fruit trees will attract more bats across the years. Goofia says, just tuning in. Hello, Mr. Hon-Hon. What's going on? Well, you disrespect my race just like this while you enter here. You laugh at me? I'm French. I'm French and you laugh? I have a French accent and you laugh? Stephen Robinson says they like the fruit once it ferments in the fall. Well, that's it. So that was my first killing of a bat. I've killed many animals in my life. I've worked with many living animals too. But... for the first time, I have killed a bat. It is scary. It is a scary shape, and it's a scary pattern of flying. Like, The way these things fly, let me tell you. Low Mercury Tuna has sent a super chat on Entropy. Thank you so much. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Make sure you add a payment method in your Odyssey account if you want to see this button. Or alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Low Mercury Tuna says, unpopular opinion. If you get stabbed, you have getting stabbed genes. By treating those white girls, we're perpetuating their genes and thus perpetuating the problem of child stabbings in the UK. You know, this is a hard one for people to understand, but it's true. You have getting stabbed genes whenever you get stabbed. Because the person who has genes that makes her stay inside forever, that makes her avoid public encounters at all costs, that makes her cross the road when she sees a potentially aggressive gang coming her way, that person is very, very much likely to avoid stabbing. And it's the genes in the end. It's the genes. You're absolutely right. It's a super hard case to make. People don't want to understand it. But it's true. Now, that doesn't mean we have to... So having a biological determinist view of the world doesn't mean that we must reduce to a single cause. So, yes, the children that get stabbed in the UK right now, they have bad genes. They have genes that are terrible at surviving in a Muslim environment, okay? The reason they're terrible at surviving is they're too trusting. And it's probably the trust of their parent. They trust the state. They trust the public school. They trust the street. And they eventually get stabbed by Muslims. So that doesn't mean there's not other genes at play. There is the genes of violence that are coming from the demographics attacking them. And in a way, the way white civilization works is by deciding that there is guilt. There is guilt. It's not the fault of the person getting stabbed, that they've been stabbed. And so we attribute guilt, but guilt is a human concept. It's totally independent from the physical fact that, yes, you got stabbed because you had the wrong genes. You had the wrong genes to live in a place where there's that much people with that many knives and that many genes of aggression. Absolutely correct. And very important point, because we have to understand, what is civilization? Civilization is an arbitrary decision. It's an arbitrary decision to say, yes, you know, these little girls, trusting little girl genes are bad in certain situations because they get you killed. But we will save them because we think that the trust that we can get, if we make sure that the whole of society can trust each other, we think that we will get more benefits from it. We will get a more trusting society. That will mean commerce. That will mean technology. It will mean all sorts of evolution. So that is what civilization is. It's ultimately the decision, we're not going to let piracy and constant killings happen. Now, civilization is getting destroyed. So it's also the nature of our civilization right now to be headed toward destruction by the very process of killing trusting people, basically. Because who's the first victim of the immigration demographics problem? Who's the first victim? It's the liberal, city-loving person. It's the person who's most opened. Because the secret bigot, he will keep his bigotry in secret. He won't annoy anyone. He will avoid those areas, and he's not going to get stabbed. A new guy says, natural baby cries attract crocodiles. Do babies have bad genes? Or do crocodiles have good genes? Well, that's an interesting one. There's actually some thinking in evolutionary biology about this one. It's the idea. This is a radical idea in evolutionary biology. I really love this one. The idea that the cries of the baby are a means of extortion. The cries of the baby work onto the parents because the baby is actually attracting crocodiles. And what the baby... So, because why would a parent be annoyed by the cries of a baby? When you think about it, if the parent has evolved for having the genetic interest to care for the baby, does he really need a cry to remind him? No. Because evolution could make the parent just deliver the parental care no matter what, whether the baby cries or not. So for evolution, it doesn't really need the cry. So why didn't parent evolve to deliver the parental service without the cry? Well, the theory goes as follows. The baby wants to alert crocodiles and is basically telling his parents, I have no muscles, but the crocodile does have muscles. And I can't hurt you if you don't give me milk, but the crocodile can hurt you. Therefore, the baby is crying to extort his parent more parental care than they would give naturally for the purpose of shutting down the cries and for the purpose of not facing the crocodiles. King Anus says, feed me or die. That would be a good premise for a horror movie. Now I'm cackling like Kamala Harris. Oh no, I've been listening to these clips all day of Kamala Harris cackling. Now I'm cackling. I've been advancing on my game programming. It's looking very good. I have now designed the intro, main menu, lobby system, multiplayer components. Let's have a look at two instances playing in multiplayer connection. One being the server. So I have this Godot intro that I've added with some music. So I've done a whole system of lobby logging. So you log, you have a chat, you have chat rooms, you have friends, you can add friends, you can organize games with repeated interactions with the same friends. If you find someone in the chat that you like, you can add them, you can marry them if you want, but that's not in the game. hashtag, you can start channels like on IRC, like back in the days. And yeah, so you can start a game as a host, connect to an existing game. So here I have my 3D worlds with my little animals. That's my space for experimenting with the world, seeing if my code works. So I've been working on the alignment of the AK-47 or AR-15. I don't know exactly what that gun is. But so I've been working on detecting proper shooting of animals and doing so in a multiplayer way. And most importantly, deploying the bleeding of the animals across all of the instances. So it's complicated because you have a player. The player is saying, I'm shooting there. The server is saying, okay, you're shooting there. There's an animal. The line is correct. Poof, you got bleeding. Now, the other players must be informed that this guy is shot and also this animal is bleeding. So this is what I've been working on. It's quite a headache from a mathematical perspective. But once you get it going, it's awesome. It's demanding for the brain cognitively to be designing those 3D spaces that are multiplayer. But once you get all the communication going, look at this. I'm going to shoot a couple of animals here. Pow, pow. So So here you can see I have molecules of blood exploding from an animal that I shot with this player. And this other player, looking at the scene, sees the AK right here. The angle of the character is proper, communicated by the server, and you got the blood explosion that's also coordinated across server and player. You can see the puffs of blood here. Now, let's take this player here, kill some other animals. And you see when this one kills an animal, this one now sees the blood explosions. Now I got a hammer right here. Let's kill some animals with hammers. This hammer, it touched two animals at the same time. All right, let's finish this one with a gun. And here you can see the player movement communicated P2P across the network. Every player's computer is communicating to the other players. I'm moving there. I'm at this angle. I'm doing this. I'm shooting. So complicated stuff that is really a delight. A delight for the brain, for cognition. Very demanding. Red Eye Jedi says now he's killing animals in real life after this. It's true. It's true. I have been on the path of extremism. I started in the pipeline of virtual worlds, and today I killed an actual animal. I started killing bats actually in my 3D space because one of these animals is a bat. Speaker's Corner says, are you going to sell the game? That is a big question because I do want to make money with this game. But there are models where you don't sell the game. You sell material for the game, you sell subscription systems, NFTs, costumes, and I don't know. I don't it might be a free game to start with. It might be a game that you can get on for free. But then certainly I want to make money with this game. I want to make $1 million. That is my goal. And sometimes the path to because if I sell the game at $19.99, $29.99, there's going to be a very reduced crowd of user. And yeah, you know, I'm gonna make some money, but I'm not gonna make $1 million selling it $20. I'm gonna make maybe $100,000. There are these games like Dota makes $800 million, I think a year. Is that a? I think it's a year. They make $800 million a year selling hats, virtual hats, so you can wear a hat in the game. I'm not shitting you. It is what's happening. So, I might be headed toward that kind of model. I would want people to be able to join the game for a very low cost or for no cost at all. Raised Fist says this is clearly a free-to-play game. Yeah, it's a game that exudes very much this aspect where you can have eventually millions of people can have fun with this game. It's a very fun game. It's a game that will have a lot of secrets. Biology secrets. There's going to be a lot of farming, a lot of secret mining stuff that you can know that makes you better than the others. It's going to be quite the encyclopedic game. And I believe that there will be much demand for this game if I can make the entry step very easy. New guy says inseminating. Absolutely, there will be insemination. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, wouldn't that require a normies audience for those types of in-app purchases? This is a totally normie game. I'm developing a game that I want full adoption of this game. I want this game to become the best game of my generation. Okay? I'm really. I have told my girlfriend this is about 1, 2 years of work. I will be doing this full time. This is serious. I'm not kidding with this. And yes, you can argue, well, JF, aren't you a controversial personality? Yeah, but I don't know that they will... This is not a based game or anything. It's really just... It's going to be a fun game. I want this to be the best game post Dota 2. So that's what I see. I want in 5 years from now, I want a bunch of Chinese 17-year-old to win the international tournament of planetary insemination. Okay, I'm serious. FD says, are you able to start your own server? Absolutely. What you saw from the video was me starting a own server. Now, I'm halfway through coding the lobby page. The lobby page gives you the option. You can use a dedicated server that will serve the game. Or you can, if you're more experimental, you want to go on your own server, you can create your own server. Corvin Callsign says, imagine that this is what propels the revolutionary phenotype to be a household name. Yeah, I think you're not incorrect here. The revolutionary phenotype as a book will benefit from the exposure that this game gets me. Everything will all work together beautifully. Now, yes, it's an adventure and it's not guaranteed. I mean, maybe I'm deluded. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't have the talent to make a game of that level. I mean, when you think of the expense, normally if I was doing this in the professional world, I would have to have, for reaching my goal would be to make $1 million profit. I mean, it's almost impossible. You would need a team of about 100 people to do all of the 3D modeling, the noise, the music, the characters, the management, the statistics reporting, the lobby system. But I've decided that just like when I killed that bat, when the hammer went down and the blood started splattering, I've decided that I was a man of exception, that I can do the work of 100 soldiers. I've decided that the era of indie games has started and that the corporate systems that produce the games, they eventually will become too costly, too handicapped by their hiring practices, their diversity practices, etc., that ultimately a man with a dick is the next programmer of the next big game. Rodilacid says, that's called synergy. When you make your multiple businesses work together, like Trump hotels, buy Trump water, buy Trump steaks, etc., incorporate TRP into the game like Easter eggs. Yeah, that would be I want to insert the idea of a phenotypic revolution, but I could definitely insert some references to the revolutionary phenotype. Alt White sends a super chat, $25. Thank you so much. He says the defective genes are in the adults. They expose their children to a clear and present danger. I agree with you. It's a little provocative to say the 8-year-old girl had the genes to get stabbed. The reality is that her parents had the genes to let her get stabbed. But her parents also gave her those genes, so she also had those genes. So we're back to... She had the genes to get stabbed. Boiling Frog says, kills a bat, thinks he's Leonidas. Yes. I mean, when I did this book, it was with the same kind of mentality. It was like, okay, the whole system is against you. There's no one who will help you in your path toward the truth. There's no one who will write the back of the book recommendation, and I wouldn't even want one. These little sentences like, this is an awesome book. because you're not part of the Jewish networks that does this to each other. But the truth itself can survive, and the truth that you bring to the world can be better than all the other available truths. And right now, that is true of my theory in biology. And I want this to be true also of this game. I am working, I am waking up every day, getting into the programming with the conviction that this will be a, not a game that you guys want to play with me and we're 100 people on the chat. I want this game to have 100,000 audience live at the moment. I want this game, I want the biggest matches between the best players of the world to be only watched, to be watched by 20,000 people. And I want the entire world to come to play that game because it's going to be a fun game. There's going to be blood, there's going to be organs flying when you kill animals, there's going to be you mine, you get some secret sauce and then you shoot that poison sauce onto the other team. It's going to be awesome. Frederick Van Finkel says, Jeff, your animals in your game seem to be minding their own business. You need to make them hostile to justify violence against them. Yeah, that's all. That's just my testing space. Eventually, the animals do have a target, and they do have targets that they can attack. In fact, this is already programmed to some extent. They have aggro. They detect someone from the other team. They will attack it. In fact, what you see, there is combating that happens between the animals in the videos I publish. And that's already an aggro system between two teams. So at first, the animals, they walk loosely toward a target. But eventually, when they encounter another animal of the other team in their radius, they head toward it and they start attacking. That is already present, and of course there will be more of it in the final game, but right now it's my testing space for the physics. New guy says, have we not evolved beyond the Colosseum? No. Friedrich von Finkel says, I suppose hunger justifies our violence too, though. He's worried about animal rights activists trying to defend my virtual animals. Kamala the Cackler, she will be our next president. We must adore her. If we are disappointed in Trump, you must be a Kamala fan. This is one of the videos I was playing on repeat all day.
You know, we have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. and you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke. Yeah. You know, we have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. and you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke.
Yeah.
I'm trying to convince myself that she is the right choice. Here she is dancing to the crash of the stock market. I mean, is that not the best accelerationist candidate, gentlemen? Who else would have that dance that you can put in front, that you can plausibly put in front of the fall of the stock market and say, yeah, that's her fault. She's the thinker, she's the mastermind behind it all. You're just an accelerationist behind the keyboard. You're a keyboard accelerationist. She does it for real. She crashes the system for real.
Yeah.
John Drake says, could be the best. Hard to argue against that. So, I mean, you know, this is kind of my edgy brain trying to... Because I'm not going to make debates in which I support Trump, given that Trump has given all signs that he's going to be bad. So I'm like, okay, if there's ever a debate where I need to defend Kamala, those are some of the directions I could take. Nick Fuentes seems to agree. He says, the Trump campaign is in need of a serious course correction. Are you cackling with Kamala, Nicholas? Are you cackling with the Harris? It is now undeniable that Harris will be competitive, and the Trump campaign has been losing momentum since Biden dropped out. They seem to always be on the defensive lately. I'm not weird. New management. Trump has been collapsing in national/swing state polls and the betting markets. Cheating will be a factor again, and there is no plan to counter this. And Harris has seized the momentum. Trump supporters are more worried about reassuring everyone that everything is fine, fix it. Yes, we are feeling a great lack of confidence on the side of Trump, because he's giving the image of trying to act as if everything is fine. Don't worry. They're on the defensive, as Nick says. They are only trying to damage control. The fact that people like me and Nick and Richard Spencer are saying, hey, we're not happy with the direction that Trump has been taking. Meanwhile, Lily is becoming based. I won't show her tweet because she goes a little too far at the end of the tweet, but I will read the beginning of Lily's statement. She says, the United States is compromised by Israel, and the UK is occupied by Muslims. Interesting. Lily finally touches the Israel question. That is very welcome. I've been pressuring for this to happen from the beginning. Perhaps she needed time to get aware of the situation. She goes on to say something. I will not report it because in Canada, she might be banned for this tweet. I mean, she goes far. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, how likely would it be, would it really be that a Harris victory will lower the chances of a war with Iran, assuming that it doesn't happen beforehand? That is an interesting question. I would say, under a Trump administration, the prospect for a war with Iran is around 80%. Under a Kamala Harris administration, I would say that the prospect of a war with Iran involving the US is about 10%. So I think it's a massive effect. That's my perspective. I may be wrong about this. Maybe I'm drinking too much of the Kamala Kool-Aid. Maybe I've just been repeating that clip of her cackling one too many times. And I've gone overboard. But the thing is, Kamala has had difficulty siding with Israel in their persecution of Gaza. So that means in the follow-up, if anything, she would be even more annoyed because they've been throwing the cold shower on Bibi Netanyahu. Because never forget that Kamala is a far-left person within the Democrat Party. In a way, it may be the case that the far-left has gotten their candidate in a way, they're fucking up the elites of the party with this. Because it may very well be the case that Israeli elites have lost control of the Democrat Party with Kamala. Now, is that certain? No, because I totally see Kamala potentially being an agent of Israeli powers. That's possible. I'm not denying this, but I'm saying between Kamala, who's throwing a cold shower on Bibi Netanyahu, and Trump, who's explicitly, publicly saying, no, no, we are siding with Israel. I'm going to go for Kamala for the best chance to not have World War III. That's my impression. DK Shadow says, she's a puppet. It's just a matter of who. Yeah, I would say this. I would say we don't quite know the extent to which Kamala is anti-system. Now, it would be surprising for someone to make it to the presidency of the U.S. and not be pro-system. But let me tell you, we're not... We're pretty much in this territory. She could be. She could be really an agent of the far left coming in to fuck up Israel. New guy says, Kamala is not anti-system. Maybe she's not. You know, it's. I'm not saying it's likely that she is anti-system. I'm saying she has some ideas that are very far leftist, which sometimes overlap with the opposition against Israel. And she could be sympathetic to the Iranian side and not want to you know, escalate with the Iranian side. In the same way, they've been throwing the cold shower on Bibi Netanyahu. They've not been even meeting with him, from my understanding. Bibi Netanyahu came to Congress, did a speech. Kamala didn't meet in private with him. The whole team of Joe Biden kind of snubbed him. So they have an issue with the direction that Israel is taking. Now, there may still be strikes onto Iran under Kamala Harris, but there will be strikes mostly led by Israel. Israel will have to deal with it. That's my view. Now, unconventional wisdom says, she's married to a Jew just like the other presidents had children who were Jewish or married to Jews too. That is true. But who else is married to a Jew? Candace Owens. And sometimes there's these Jews who are so leftist that they don't have this nationalist Jewry inside of them. Maybe Kamala is with that kind of Jew. I don't know. I don't know. I have no clue. But it's certainly a uncertain direction compared to the very certain direction of Trump. And the very certain direction of Trump is he will side with Jews in a war against Iran. He wants to see Iran eradicated from the earth, which is not going to happen. And so if it's not going to happen, then we're talking about an all-out war. They're starting now to give some coverage to Iranian bombarding of Iraq bases. At least two American soldiers have been killed as a result of rocket attacks against Ayn al-Assad Air Base in Iraq. This is still minimal, but they will try to stack this kind of observation, and perhaps there will be a bigger attack at some point that they will use as a justification to escalate against Iran. That's certainly playing in the hand of Israel, all of this. They will want the Americans to be affected. They will want to have American victims to say, hey, join us against Iran. As far as I'm concerned, you're in a base in Iraq, you are an invader. You are a part of a force of conquering of the Middle East from a foreign nation that has no business there. So if there are some missiles popping over your head, I disregard personally. FD says, at what point are you too obsessed with Israel and the Jews? I would say you would be too obsessed if at some point you were to think that the Jews have been involved in something and it turned out that there was no Jew at all involved in that thing. Like, in some event, some public position, in some political event. If once you end up saying, oh, this must be the Jews, let me Google it here. And then you get into the early life of every single person involved, and it's like Native American, Russian Orthodox, early life, Irish, a poor Irish with red hair, and then Chinese, and then the other person with whom they have allied, a Chinese Buddhist. And then the other person they dealt with when they started interacting with the media corporation, a black African from South Africa who's married to an Inuit. If one time in your life you go through that research and this is what you find, then you should care a little less about the Jews. If every single time you do the research and it's like, married a Jew, had a Jewish child, went to a bar mitzvah, and it's like every time every person involved in this whole thing is Jewish, then you're caring about the Jews just enough. Breaking report X to close San Francisco office. Ariel Suarez says, African married to an Inuit. You know, there are combinations that have not been tried. Silver Spider says, hey, JF, I just had a talk with a conservative who blames libertarians for the fall of conservatism since we allowed too much freedom. I said that no matter how strong he makes the state, it will... Well, there you deleted your own message. You're going to have to retype it because I was in the process of reading it. X to close San Francisco office. Is that true? Because it's reported by Chuck Calesto. I don't know if it's true. I hope that it's true. There's no business in for Elon to stay in California. They will keep dunking on him. They will keep trying to take his money. They'll do like Trump in New York. Silver Spider sends $10. Hey, JF, I just had a talk with a conservative who blames... Okay, so he's now repeated his chat in Super Chat. Thank you so much for the donation. He says, I just had a talk with a conservative who blames libertarians for the fall of conservatism since we allowed too much freedom. I said that no matter how strong he makes the state, it will be subverted and used against whites who excel under freedom. His opinions seem to be gaining popularity. Oh yeah, there's a whole scapegoating. A whole scapegoating of the libertarians. As if libertarians ever had any sort of influence on society. We did not. Because libertarians have never been an effective political group. Libertarians have never been pushing their ideology into effective existence. So basically, libertarians are a bunch of theorists who never had any impact onto society. Literally, the only moment there was something like libertarianism, it hasn't even been wanted, willed into existence by libertarians. It was the founding of America. Maybe the first 100 years, let's say up to 1920 or whatever you want, wherever you want to put the threshold of the size of the state. But it's not libertarians that created the early libertarian start of America. It's actually a bunch of people, but who were in a system that hadn't grown into enough corruption to be anything else than a free system. That's it. So libertarians have never, through their desire or ideology, changed the world. So to accuse libertarians of anything is misguided. But we're seeing this a lot, and it's to justify fascism and right-wing authoritarianism. And it's like... It's like... Andrew Wilson, these Christian fascists, you're really going to get into the middle of downtown Chicago to try to convert black people away from LGBT beliefs? So you're doing the Lord's work at some point. You are doing charity that is not deserved. You should let people into the LGBT lifestyle. They will not reproduce, and eventually there will be less of them. But the Christian fascist wants to impose their beliefs onto the rest of the world, but that the cost of that imposition is never calculated. Like, do you know how hard it is to go into downtown Chicago and try to eradicate trans beliefs? Like, they're going to object, they're going to send the left after you, they're going to try to subvert your project, and they're going to try to get around your laws, just like they do with the laws of abortion. You know, you just give an exception, like if the health of the mother is at risk. And now you have all these leftist doctors lining up, and they all sign papers that say the health of the mother is at risk in this case. So you have a never-ending problem of parasitic exploitation when you try to give charity to someone who doesn't deserve it. So be very careful with this. Ariel Suarez says, I mean, you are telling a Christian that they are doing the Lord's work. Of course, they would want to, Jeff. Yeah, but, you know, don't do too much of it. Rodila Sid says, but it's to JF's point. Whenever you look into weird things, how come there aren't more Indians or Chinese involved? When there are more Chinese in the world, more Indians than Jews, how many Chinese congressmen are there? Yeah, exactly. There's something wrong. There's something wrong, which is why I've brought attention to the Jewish question. We must ask, what is happening that there are so many Jews hosting podcasts, promoting each other's books, and escalating the domains of politics and intelligence and geopolitical counseling? Why is it? EBT chicken. So apparently this is the food stamp system. But the food stamps can only allow you to buy raw chicken. You can't buy fried chicken. So this grocery store found a workaround. You can buy 16 pieces of raw chicken with your food stamps. If you want, we will cook it for free. It will take 15 to 20 minutes. Last order, 5 p.m. Well, that's a good workaround. But see, that's why the fascism is a lost cause. Okay, so there's these people who are hungry. Well, let's help them. Let's pay for food. Well, now they're abusing the system. So we have to limit the food stamps so that you can only buy food that you can prepare at home. Okay, but now the problem is they're buying fried chicken. Okay, well, let's make it so they can only buy raw chicken. Well, now someone shows up and is willing to fry to fry the chicken on location so that you buy it as raw, but it gets fried for free. New guy says they'll just wash it in bleach at home, sir. You don't want to be stuck managing other people's lives. Black Pigeon Pilled. Glad to see you here, Black Pigeon Pilled. Are you Black Pigeon? Or are you just a fan of Black Pigeon? He says, does JF think the religion of the West is still Christianity or some variant of paganism? Well, I don't have... you know, my girlfriend has an opinion on this. She has strong opinions on... you know, Christianity and what it is, and a lot of Christians are improper Christians, are not Christians in our view. I don't have a strong, and it's not my place. It's not my place as someone who doesn't subscribe to the set of beliefs. I won't be coming here and saying, well, you guys are fake Christians. It's like, I'm not a Christian. I can't call people fake Christian. But if you're talking about the Christianity that we have in our world, it's certainly sociologically, it's certainly a pale, diluted version of whatever it was before. So definitely we have a slow drift into the liberalization of Christianity, if you will. That's something I'm willing to say. Black Pigeon Pill says, good to see you too. I'm not Black Pigeon, but a longtime fan of him and you. Oh, okay, okay. Well, yeah, I've seen you around. It's good to see you. Jamie Raskin claims that Congress will stop Trump in the case of a victory of him. Let's see what he has to say.
What can be put into the Constitution can slip away from you very quickly. And the greatest example going on right now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand, as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so, you know, they want to kick it to Congress. So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody and civil war conditions, all because the nine justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job and interpret what the great 14th Amendment means.
I don't know if it's true. Will we have a problem of passation of power if Trump wins? Not sure about this. Real Base Talk says, Jeff, why do you think most humans need to believe in supernatural things like gods? Because they cannot accept death? No, those are psychological explanations, and I never accept them as valid. Because in evolutionary thinking, you cannot explain something by saying people had a psychological need for this. Because evolution can make you have any needs. So if you had a need for an explanation, evolution could easily say, remove that need from the brain. You don't have it anymore. Here, I'm knocking off this gene and I'm turning on this gene a little more and I'm balancing this and this and boom, you don't have a need to understand or face death anymore. So those are not valid explanations. I have my own theories, which I lay out in The Moral Signal, which is not out and not close to be out yet. But here are some valid evolutionary theories for the belief in God. We had an already existing psychology that was sensitive to observation of our behavior. And that makes sense that we would evolve this. We evolved so that, hey, I'm going to do this behavior, but I will try never doing this behavior if I'm in front of this person or that other person. For example, sex. I'm going to have sex with my husband or wife, but I don't want to have sex in front of everyone, and I don't want to have sex in front of members of my family. So we had evolved these shut-ins and outs of behavior, and this high social tendency to know who observes what we do. And there were lines of exploitation into the civilization such that certain genes would evolve to make us act a little more dirty if we're in private. So, for example, we could be less polite if were among the family, and perhaps more polite if we are with strangers. So we had evolved all of these tricks to that are based on who is looking at my behavior, and therefore I will adjust my behavior in ways A, B, C. With this pre-existing cognitive structure, it might have been the next evolutionary step to say, you know what? You are a better human being if you are obsessed with the idea that there's always someone observing you. And this, so from an existing cognitive basis, evolution could have said, hey, I see a shortcut in the brain here. Like, I want this guy to have behaviors A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Like, I want this guy to completely change his behavior, but it just turns out that the shortest path to making someone be a decent person at all time is to convince them of the idea that there is an omniscient observer always there, always observing their behavior. Because in the end, your behavior is always getting better in the front of observation. And this has been observed in birds, you know. Birds who know they are alone, they will sing in a very noisy fashion. They will explore new songs. Now, you put another bird next to their cage, suddenly they are in performance mode. Suddenly they are much more harmonious. And they sing in much cleaner and more performative ways. If it turns out that the human creature was so social that ultimately you are better at all times to think that you are being observed, and it makes you even better when you're alone, then you would have evolution push in this cognitive shortcut. There's always someone watching you. So there's no reason to, you should act good at all times. That could be one explanation for why God evolved in our minds. It could also be that it evolved as a counter, to a signaling protection. So imagine that you are a social creature and you have evolved a cognitive layer that helps you figure out when someone teaches me something, sometimes they're trying to fool me. Let's say, this guy is trying to tell me to go into the back alley, that there's something very interesting in the back alley, but he's probably a rapist trying to rape me. See, we detect the interest, the hidden interest of individuals in their teachings to us, in their revelations to us. And something that's too good to be true, we say there's something wrong about this. Now imagine you are evolving with this kind of doubt of, okay, my father told me to do this, but did he really have my good in his mind, or was he trying to fool me, or was he trying to misdirect me, or was he misdirected himself? Perhaps one of the defenses against this, from the perspective of the father who wants to explain something to their children, but yet he's faced with children in constant doubt. Because they're like, oh yeah, well, you tell us this, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure you know about this, Dad. I'm not sure you're not trying to manipulate us in the wrong way. Perhaps one cognitive defense against this is to say, I don't even want you to do this. It's God that wants you to do this. Perhaps the third person, the idea, the authority doesn't come from me. I'm not trying to get you into the back alley. But God wants you to go into the back alley. So how about you go there? So perhaps it was a way to manipulate the perception of self-interest in conversation. To neutralize the perception of self-interest, you withdraw your own authoritarian attitude and you depersonify it. I don't want you to get married. I don't want you not to kill. I don't want you not to steal. That's God. God said this. And you're free to follow God or not follow God. Now, suddenly you have a kind of suspension of the system of doubt, because the system of doubt was highly tuned to the individual trying to teach you the lies. You have suspended the system of doubt in your audience, and perhaps that makes for better teaching strategy for the things that are most important in life, like the Ten Commandments or whatever it is that you want to teach with religion. Silver Spider says the universe slash God wants you to do A, B, and C. It's the natural law. Yeah, exactly. So it's not the Father anymore saying this. It's a third person that you can't question, that you can't come back to, that has no reason to fool you, that has no interest of his own. Shrigmamel sends a super chat. He says, JF, I almost cried because I felt so safe in Taipei. I have never felt that safe in a city in the West. Ah, that is quite interesting. So the Asian cities appear to be quite safe. I didn't know this. Doubting Thomas says, JF, a potential issue with these is that the early religions had gods that were not as omniscient or omnipotent as the biblical gods, such as a god of the forest. Well, you've walked on a landmine, my friend, because I've taken the anthropology course on Native American beliefs back in my university days. I did this for the summer. See, while you were doing bicycle and exercise and going to the beach, Papa Jeff was taking the extra course on Native American systems of belief. And when they had the polytheism and a form of care about, you know, the god of the tree and the god of the flower. In fact, they didn't even call them god. It was more like spirits of nature. I would argue that their conception of supernatural forces were actually even more omniscient than the conception in modern monotheism. Barnabé Bruto says, oh yeah, and they give you your 3 credits and half the time of a regular course. I took that class too. No, Barnabé Bruto, you don't understand my level of autism. I took that class. I took an extra class for no credits at all, just to learn about the Native American systems of belief. Boom! Barnabé Bruto is like the bat in my kitchen. She was stunned and victimizable for a moment, and it's... I just crushed you with extra credits. I wasn't even getting credits for this one. Barnabé Bruto. That's how cutthroat I am at the university game. Yes, I would argue that the Native Americans had a much more omniscient perception of the forces of nature, because there were forces existing in the animals around them, in the plants around them. They had the ability to invade those forces. Like, you could have a wife that is pissed off that her husband betrayed her and slept with another woman. She could commit suicide. And she, with the belief that her suicide would lead to the birth of a plant that would haunt her husband forever, she would kind of act as a ghost into the plant and basically mess with the life of her betraying husband for the rest of existence. So that is quite omniscient, like the belief that my spirit can be injected into a plant and annoy you, like be a pain in your ass forever. That is even more omniscient, I would argue, than the very theoretical and abstract idea of Christian omniscient God. Ariel Suarez sends a super chat. He says, why were you so interested in Native American belief systems? Well, actually, the whole story of my taking the anthropology class in the summer of 2003 is that I wasn't interested in Native Americans specifically, but I wanted to know about men. I wanted to see what do anthropologists have to say about the nature of men, the civilization, the men mind, the men's mind. I wanted to know about all these subjects. So I take anthropology because anthropology is the study of men. So I'm like, let's go study men. But it turns out that I have this fucking pain in the ass professor that got delegated, that took over this class for this summer. And he's a Native American. And he arrives in the... He arrives in the class and it's like with feathers and stuff, and he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. His name is Roland Viau, a brilliant man with a brilliant book, by the way. Roland Viau, Roland Viau, Viau. A very intelligent man, very knowledgeable about Native American culture. But it's like, bro, this wasn't the title of the course. And he goes on to speak for the whole summer about just Native Americans. So that's how I became very knowledgeable in traditional Native American beliefs. I wanted to study everything about men. I got served a specialized discourse of a whole summer long about the Native Americans. So this guy, Roland Viau, who wrote a genius book, Femme de Personne, which means Wives of No One. Wives of No One. The problem with this guy is he's such a leftist with the whole noble savage meme, and he's such a feminist who was trying to push a certain angle of the Native American culture as, oh, it's so great. Look how free they were. Look how better they were. The thing is, I hate this guy because on any other question, he was cognitively uninteresting. Like somehow he was a specialist of his subject. But sometimes I was bringing up stuff like the history of slavery. And, you know, this is 2003, so I'm like, I'm what? I'm 20 years old, 21 years old at this time. So you have to imagine a young Marxist JF, 21 years old, but already edgy. And so I'm bringing stuff about blacks, whites, slavery, and he's giving me D+. He's like, no, not correct thinking, no. And that's the reason I hate him in the end. He was very good when it came to the subject of Native Americans. I knew how to listen to his course and write whatever he wanted to hear, and I could get an A or an A+. But then when the assignment was more free and I was letting myself go in edgy questions of history, he was always punishing me. And he was always giving me like the most terrible grades I've had in my life. Like I was a super performance student who was the best scorer of his entire high school in, you know, 2-3 years before. In math, like I had 100% in my most difficult math course of the fourth year of high school. I had these incredible grades. But when I arrived to him, he was a different man. He was a man who was trying to push ideology in his... So I had great respect for his course. I learned a lot, and great respect for his book, because there is a lot of primary information of the first Europeans who encountered Native Americans and who described their whole society untouched by Europe. But he wasn't able to think past. He wasn't. If you only divagate to the side of this specialist subject, he was becoming extremely hostile. Lendald Guntram says, "Is he still with us, JF? How old is that instructor nowadays?" I don't know. You'd have to Google him, Roland Vio. You can search for him. I don't know if he's still alive. Silver Spider says he was getting revenge on the white men. Lol. I think something like this has been happening. He was basically an early SJW for Native Americans in 2003. Can you believe this? That is unbelievable. Deadstar says wild live streams from the British Isles today. Fierce street battles between Brits, cops, and Muslims. Nasty stuff, and seems to be only growing. Absolutely. The UK is in a state of civil war, and the police has decided to basically abandon white people to roving gangs of thug Islamists. So here a single white guy. So you should not think of yourself as tough and taunt the crowd, because they are gangs. It doesn't matter even if you know martial arts. The first rule of martial arts is don't fight against 40 people. All right, so we get these scenes all across social media. It's happening again and again. Extremely worrying. That is how it's looking. We basically have a civil war birthing into the UK, and it's Muslims against whites. And we have here a scene of a Chinese athlete. She has spent so much of her life training that she wasn't taught that you need to bite, apparently. You need to bite the Olympic medal with your teeth. So there she was. She got her medal, but she starts looking at the white girls. Ah, the Asian woman being guided into the future by the white woman. We wouldn't want too much of this. Preserve the Asian woman. Preserve the Asian woman just in case. That's it for tonight. Much love. I'll see you tomorrow. Oh, and a super chat came in by Shring Mamel at the last minute. He says, "I've come to the conclusion that even in a place like the Philippines, there is too much excess after dealing with my crazy girlfriend." Wow. He went across the world, ladies and gentlemen. Shring Mamel went across the world to find a wife who would be responsive to him, who would just be good enough to be a wife, basically, without killing you and without hitting you. And he ended up having a very bad experience with this one Filipinos girl. I would say just try to get to the next and I think you're going to find at some point. Personally, I found a perfect girlfriend. at 40 years old. So hope is never lost. And let me tell you, I've put the chances on my side when you think about it from a wealth perspective, from a public presence perspective, from a risk-taking perspective. Like, I'm an alpha male, and I had to wait up to 40 years old before I could find a decent and an amazing person to be with. So don't discourage, keep sifting through and find a woman. Dino Rajad sent $20 on Entropy. Thank you so much. He says, thanks for the great show, JF. What's your opinion on where Bitcoin goes from here? I just listened to a Twitter space with Peter Schiff, the chief economist of Europac. He's a big gold endorser, and he was very skeptical that it was a good long-term investment. Thanks again for the great content. Personally, I wouldn't withdraw from Bitcoin. I won't withdraw my Bitcoin because there's a small drop. We had a drop down to 49,000 today. It's considerably low. Now it bounced back to 55K. Listen, I'm afraid that if I was to sell my Bitcoin, Bitcoin would go crazy up. And I believe that that is the fear of many people, which is why I don't expect that it's an intelligent thing to do to sell your Bitcoin right now. Because I think there is much potential in this election cycle for extreme events to happen that will massively propulse Bitcoin. You have the potential of a US president, Donald Trump, who, if he wins, who says he wants to make a national Bitcoin reserve. Do you know what that means? It means Bitcoin is a sure bet if that happens, because the government is... The government that's printing all the money is ultimately holding Bitcoin, knowing the bullshit that money is. So I don't see how you can be faced with this historical moment and say, I want out. I want out at 54K. Oh, I've already made my 2X. Bye-bye, guys. It's like, no, you're in front of a civilizational super event. I want every part of it. I want to stay in it. I don't care if it takes 1 year more. I don't care if I have to huddle. I've already huddled through a bull run. The bull run of 4 years ago. And now I'm huddling through this bull run. And it's like, no, if you don't give me very, very high price, I'm huddling the Bitcoin. I'm willing to die with it. Thank you.